It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. We are going to have some fun today. I've got one of my good buddies on, and this guy, he actually amazes me with how cool and calm and collected he is, but yet how successful he is. And if all goes well today, hopefully you're going to take a few tips and tricks and techniques about mindset and sales and growing your business and maybe just improving yourself as a person. Please welcome my buddy, Chris Crawford, to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Welcome, Chris Crawford. How are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Thank you for such a great intro. I'm stoked. I just enjoy time together with you and doing this. Man, I've been looking forward to this for a few weeks here.
One of the reasons I love talking to Chris is because I always feel like we're about to go surfing, right? He uses words like stoked and dude, and it's like, the guy lives like really far away from any waves, but yet every time I talk to him, I'm like, I feel him at the beach, you know? So good. Listen, welcome. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and I'm excited about it. And I want to see where this goes because you have such a breadth of knowledge in all the things you do. Why don't you start by telling the listeners and the viewers a little bit about your background, where you came from, and how you got to the place that you are today?
Yeah, that sounds great. My main thing, which is likely my first company, is a company called Kick-Ass Media. And we work with generally large brands, international brands, marketing firms, agencies that are doing events and marketing campaigns. So companies that'll roll out a new product will outfit their marketing to go across stores across the country, or we do movie premiere stuff. We do a lot with like Disney, they're doing a movie launch. We do products with them. So a lot of interesting projects there with these big companies. The fascinating thing about that is that I've had that business just coming up on 15 years. And when I started out, I was going door to door handing out flyers. And it's not like I didn't have any experience. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was just literally going door to door trying to make some money, just trying to get by. And so I went from, you know, that one end of it to this other of working with these companies that even still, I'm just like, how is this even a thing? And now I've gone on to do some other things, but that's kind of the macro nutshell of it.
Well, I want to drill down on that because a lot of people think that it's easy to become successful, right? After you become successful, then everybody looks at you and goes, oh yeah, easy for you. You know, you got college paid for, you got the right job, or you knew the right people. But you said something in there that was you went out and you knocked on doors, right? You went door to door. Now, is that an easy process, Chris, or a more difficult one?
Yeah. So I'd been at a career for about 8-9 years before that I was miserable at. And I had that feeling that I know a lot of us have where it's just that feeling of, I want to go do something more. Making okay money and an okay job, working for the weekend just wasn't it. But because of my background, I dropped out of high school. My mom was 16 when she had me, and we struggled financially growing up. So I was working kind of beyond, I think, the expectations of what I'd initially had for my life, to say. So my family all thought I had this great career, and then I was like, oh, but I'm not fulfilled. And I wanted to quit, but I was afraid, and that kind of like, oh, and I turmoil and just, I don't know what to do. I don't have a skill or whatever. And then I just kind of put together this loose idea, and I just got to the point where I was more or less like, screw it. I just can't do this job anymore. I gotta just make a leap. And I quit, and I went out and tried to start this business. And at the time, the idea was, I'm gonna do printing and promotional products for bands and musicians, right? That's my idea. Yeah. I'm into music. I'm like, that's what I'm gonna do. And that's why I had this name, Kick-Ass Media. And so I'm like, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna meet bands, and I'm gonna talk to these people, and I'm gonna sell them stuff. Well, pretty quickly, the people that I was talking to, well, they didn't have any money to spend, and the whole thing was just flawed, right? So about a year in, I was broke. Like, I had spent my savings, I was maxed out on credit cards, I had creditors calling, my cell phone getting cut off, like literally, destroyed my credit. Like it was pretty rough. And it really just came down to this point of where I was like, I just hadn't been selling anything, and I didn't like sales at the time. And I hit this point where it was sort of like, either I got to quit this and go back to this job, which I really didn't want to do, or I've just got to figure out how to make money in this business. Like that was it. It was just literally that. And that's when I just started doing the door-to-door thing and just made up a flyer, and I shifted to, I'm going to do printing and stuff for businesses. And so I started going door to door, handing out flyers, and in the beginning it sucked. It's a
Yeah,
grind,
I've done it.
and I was dealing with all my own fears of rejection and not wanting to be salesy and annoying, and I didn't like sales, so there was like inner conflict that I was facing. And I can only imagine the first ones that I went in, and I must have like probably babbled and was shaking, handing my flyer out, and just a struggle. But I just kept doing it over and over and over. And I think because I had such an aversion to sales, that it was like I just naturally started to develop a non-salesy way of selling, a very just sort of like easy kind of way. And there was a turning point where, slowly people started being interested in what I offered, and conversations would come up. And I remember the first day where I walked out and somebody said, "Thank you." They were like, "Oh, thanks so much." And I
Yeah.
had this sort of like, it like rocked my brain a little bit. I was walking out and I'm like, "Wait a minute, I was just trying to sell this person." And they just thanked me for selling, and it disrupted my whole thinking so much, because I was so used to like, I'm doing this annoying salesy like thing, that it started to change my thinking about it. And that was, I would say, sort of this early phase of me kind of getting into like changing my thinking about how I was approaching it, and starting to build now a lot of what I teach, what I built my company on, which is processes, systems around it. I'm sure we'll get into that. But it was that early phase of just being on the ground, going to thousands and thousands of businesses, and slowly just finding what worked, and starting to make some money, and finding that there was people just out there waiting to buy my stuff. I just had to walk in the door. I was like a treasure hunter, just had to go in and find it.
I love that you didn't sit back and create the perfect plan before you ever took action, right? You just said, you know what? This is the direction I'm going. Let's go. And you figured it out on the way, right? You just started trying and you started working and you saw what didn't work and you improved upon it and you did thousands of I think you said thousands. So you did thousands of calls and thousands of visits and thousands of door knocks. And you ended up figuring out your process. And you said something also in there that you hated sales, you didn't like sales. And that's ironic because you are so good at that. I mean, I'm in one of your mastermind groups, and I'm a big believer in masterminds. I think everybody should be in a few, depending on what your interests are, because it hones your process, it hones your focus. And the mastermind group that I'm in with you, we focus on sales. Like we focus on selling. And so many people have this connotation that selling is a bad word. Even you had that connotation. And selling isn't a bad word unless it's somebody that doesn't need your product. But if somebody needs your product, it's like, oh my God, this person is delivering exactly what I need. That's what true sales is. It's like when I go into Home Depot and I need a 3/4-inch pipe, I'm not like, oh, these people are trying to sell me a pipe. I'm like thankful that they're there to have the pipe sitting on the shelf so that I can go home and build my sprinkler or whatever, I'm using for that pipe. So that's a great part of your message is that you weren't perfectionized into disaction, right? Whatever words I just invented there, you were incentivized to take action by whatever you felt the result was. And you didn't know what that result was. Last analogy, I used to play this game called Asteroids when I was growing up.
I
And I don't know
love
if you've
it.
ever played Asteroids, where you stand there and you push these buttons, and it's like you've got this as you're a spaceship going through space, and like you got these asteroids coming at you, and like pew, 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 shoot the asteroid, break it up into 100 pieces so that it doesn't kill you, right? And you also can bounce off of the asteroids. And I always feel like as humans, we're asteroids, right? We're
We're the spaceship that if we didn't hit that one asteroid, if we didn't meet that person, if we didn't get that opportunity or even seize that opportunity, we'd be off in a whole different direction and our life would be so different. And I think that's probably kind of what you did. To use that little asteroid analogy, that's kind of what I feel like we're like. So tell us a bit about what you're doing today, how you help people, and what you do that makes you so awesome. How about that?
Well, oh man, so much there. And I totally agree with what you were saying. Well, I loved the Asteroids game. I used to love that one. Definitely. I think that was Atari way back when. Yeah. So I totally agree with you about what you're saying. Like, people need this stuff. And I think this is sort of, you know, it really comes down to our own limiting beliefs about it, right? Like, I grew up in an environment where people with money were evil and judged, and you know, kind of that, like, money is the root of evil and all these other limitations. Well, if that's what I believe in my subconscious, I'm obviously not going to be attracting all of it to me, right? So this was it, as I was really facing those beliefs that I had by taking action, just like going towards it, and then it changed my beliefs over time, and I got good at it and I got to enjoy it. And I felt like that, where I actually, what I started to believe was what you just said, like, people need the stuff that I'm doing and I'm actually helping them solve problems. So fast forward that a ways, you know, doing the door-to-door grind sucks. And I'm in Canada, so in the winter time, you know, it's snow and I was out there in the cold and I was doing it, and I'm like, oh, there's got to be another way. And I started looking at online, trying to figure it out, but I didn't know anything about online. And I just started studying. This is around 2009 and 2010, in that range. It's not like we had all the tools and everybody, you know, everybody's an online marketer now, right? And so it wasn't like that. So I started to look at, how do I get leads in that online? And I think I took the things I learned door to door, and then I started building online. And there was a lot of little points, you know, there's so many, oh man, I could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. But there was a few tipping points where I started to figure some of this stuff out about how to actually attract people to get on the phone, and then using the conversations I was doing in person to close sales on the phone. And so it started being this juggle of pieces. And the business took off and it was growing, and we got into where we were doing millions in sales, and I started hiring people, and, you know, I'm glossing over what was years and just grinding and, you know, better quality problems and what am I doing, like, staff, I'm not a manager, like, you know, I suck with details, like, what am I doing? So all of that. But then over time, people started asking me how I was growing my business, how was I getting clients, how was I getting, and I was just sort of talking about it all and just would start telling. And then I kind of got, early on, I'd listened to Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week. And I listened to it over and over and over. And he's talking about automating business and setting it up that you can go and travel. And now, you know, I've done a lot of study in mindset. I'm a certified hypnotherapist and got a bunch of therapy training, all this. So I've learned a lot about subconscious in our programming. And so as I listened to it, what I realized is that I listened to it over and over, and I was programming my own subconscious with his vision of automating a business so you can go travel. And so I went from this, it was like struggling to get by, to probably about 4 years, maybe 3 to 4 years, I hit the first $1 million sales year and went traveling through Central America, spent basically a year and a half on beaches surfing and playing around and having a lot of fun. But I got kind of bored. And it was like, how long can you sit on a beach and drink cocktails until you're like, okay, I need to go do something. Yep. And I came back and people were asking me about growing the business. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to start teaching other people how I get clients and how I learn this stuff. So I ran some marketing, I ran some groups, I ran some courses. And what I found was amazing, like, people that were just wanted to serve. They truly want to do good. They don't want to rip anybody off. They have great things to offer. And they just want to go out there, and they were just struggling with sales over and over. I was seeing this. They were undercharging for their time. They're giving their time away for free. They're avoiding sales like I was. And yet then they're struggling financially, or they're just getting by, or they're not impacting people the way they could. And so I had this, like, I started to feel like I really want to support these people through the same things that I went through. And so I started, so I taught some groups that through this course. And then what I found was people were learning, but they weren't applying what they learned. And so I had this like, well, wait a minute, I don't want to just teach courses. I actually want to, like, I want to see people succeed and I want to make a difference. And so I stepped back from that. And that's when I started studying mindset. And I started diving into, like, why do we procrastinate? Or why do we get avoid things? Why do we get distracted? Like, why do we not go after and, you know, kind of learning all of these different pieces of what goes into it, and learned some really fascinating things there. But all of that led me to this point now where I'm like, exactly to what you were saying was, I want to create a group and an environment where we can teach this and we can work on mindset and we can focus on going out and getting clients and encouraging and inspiring each other and supporting each other. And that's where I'm at now, is creating community of people that are all going towards a similar mission, and kind of in the, like, every week getting on the calls for the trainer that's like, one more push-up, like one more push-up, you know, just like do one more sales call, or just do the script, or like pick up the phone, like do the thing. And that now, as you can probably tell the way I'm talking about, is what I'm really excited and really passionate about at this phase.
So Chris, what I hear is that there's a formula, a system, right? And yeah. I think it's a system that you've created over the years, which, you know, kudos to you. And it's from leads to sales, but anybody can teach leads and sales. It really becomes what happens to the mindset in those leads and sales. And I think that's a big part of it for you. And I know that's a big part of what you teach. And I experienced that in your mastermind group. But listeners, if you like what Chris is saying, and you want to see a guy that's dropped out of high school, had a really tough upbringing, and knocked on thousands of doors before he became a successful, and you want to know some of the nuggets that he's used to get there, stay tuned, because right after this quick sponsorship message, Chris is going to drop some bombs on you about how he's gotten to that point and how you could take some of that knowledge and make yourself even better too. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. All right. So Chris, now it's time for us to let the rubber meet the road for our listeners, right? This is the Wealth Architect Podcast, and we want to be able to take something from every episode, apply it to our lives, and basically catapult our lives to the next level. So what can you share with us that that helped you, and that maybe you teach now, that can help us become even better at what we're doing?
I'd say that there's a few principles that I think have been at the core of you know, what I teach and the results that I've got, and what I'm really, what I just really believe in. So in the sales process, for example, one of the biggest things that I see is every opportunity where we're talking about what we do is a sales opportunity, right? So for anybody out there that has, whether it's product, but even the coaches and trainers and teachers and therapists, like, whenever somebody reaches out, they're like, hey, can you tell me about this? Or, hey, you know, what do you do? Or that's one of the biggest things that I see is often people in that space immediately go into coach mode, or, you know, coaching, teaching, like just trying to give their thing. But it's actually the wrong thing to do at that time. At that time, it's a sales call. And so it's really about understanding what the person's you know, what their challenges are, what they're dealing with, what they want. There's a, you know, I've created this, I call it the 6-step non-salesy sales method. And it literally is a process of how to have that conversation, have a structure and a script to talk to somebody to understand, is your thing the right thing for them and the way to present it. And what's interesting is that, like, when we just go into it unprepared, we always default, like often default to this sort of coaching training mode. But when we have a script and we have something that's there, so I would say, like, for people listening, whether it was, you know, learning from me or anybody, it's preparing for your call, preparing for your conversation before you go into it, so that you're ready to ask the right questions, you're ready to give the right responses and teach them about the solution that they need. And one of the biggest things there is being solution or result oriented. So it's not that they want to buy our stuff. It's that they want to solve a problem. So when you were going to Home Depot to buy the 3/4-inch pipe, it's not the pipe that you want. It's the sprinkler working that you want, right? And so it's knowing what the motivator is for people and being able to speak to the result. And often that's a spot where I see people, they speak about, this is Simon Sinek material, right? Like, yeah, most people, gotta start with why. And so that's a big principle that I think is key, is really looking at how you shift your message to speak to results. And the way to get there is by having a conversation, asking people the right questions. I think that goes both in, I apply that in our sales conversations, but also in our online marketing. So we've done really well at attracting thousands of leads a year from online. And I feel that I see very few companies actually, even in our space, in my industry, understand how to attract high quality leads online. And the way of doing that is not talking about, again, going back to the same thing, is not talking about what we do. It's understanding who our ideal audience is and what is it they want. So when you look at our products that we sell in my print company, for example, if you look at our competitors and you look at us, you wouldn't even know we're in the same industry, because they're talking about their products, they're talking about features, they're talking about this and that. But we're over here talking about the things that our customer cares about. And this was a tipping point where, when it really clicked, and it was Simon Sinek actually that sent me in a new direction with this, where I was building online and I was focused on products and features and doing the same thing. And what I found was I kept having to discount my prices all the time to try to close sales. And I'm like, this there's gotta be another way for this.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And that's when we stumbled into Simon Sinek stuff. And it just made me go, okay, wait a minute. What does this mean? Like, great companies talk about why they do what they do. And when I really got that and changed our messaging to speak to the why, all these brands and firms and agencies started calling me up, because I was still doing the door to door and trying to build the online thing. And so it was like making money over here while I'm trying to build something new over here. But when that clicked, it was like our phone started ringing off the hook, and companies like LG Electronics and Revlon and, you know, Pepsi, like huge brands and firms, just started calling up. And they're like, what they would say is, I don't know what it was, but we had to call you guys.
Wow. Nice.
Right. And it just was because we were speaking at a different level. We were just hitting in a different way. And they were just like, oh man, we had to work with you. And often we were more expensive than competitors, but they felt more confident with us because we were using the right language. So I
love what you're saying. You have just laid out a whole fire hose of stuff. So let me break it down from what I was able to glean from what you said. First of all, start with why. People don't care what you do. They care about why you do it. That's a major turning point, tipping point for you. And it's a Simon Sinek book, Start With Why. I highly recommend it. Mm. And then every opportunity to talk about what you do is a sales opportunity, right? Not in the traditional slam people into what you do, whether they need it or not, but really it's an opportunity for you to feature how you can help them, right? And the way you do it is you stay away from the tendency to want to coach or teach what you do, because you're so excited about what we do. We just kind of right? I do that same thing all the time. I'm like, oh, here's how you can make all this money. Let me show you the steps. And I give them all these analogies. And I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe they don't even care about all that. So, you know, really taking the time to understand who you're talking to and if they need your product is a really critical component. And that's what separates you from the other people. And then finally, when you're getting ready to have a call or have a conversation with them, take the time to be prepared and be solution oriented. That's kind of what I got from what you were talking about. So that we take the fire hose of information, at least give some bullet points to the listeners. And now maybe we'll go on to another step. If we can handle it, Chris, keep it going.
Yeah, no, that sums it up really well. I know I get so excited about this topic that I can just again, I have the same thing that I know you have as well, where we just want to over deliver. We want to support people. We just want to see people succeed. And I'm like, I just want to like give it all to you. But
right.
Then I know also that information is not transformation, right? Transformation is a result. It's the integration of information that creates transformation. And so,
What was all that?
Well, so think about it like this. So I don't know why I just love this like sort of thought, like, you know, when you read a book or you listen to a podcast, right? People on the podcast and we have realizations, we have ahas. Well, that doesn't create change for us.
Right.
But often we feel like something's different because we see it a different way. Like we read this book. Oh, here's this concept. Oh, I know what I've got to do differently now. We feel like something's changed. Nothing's changed. It's a potential change, right? It's information. The realization is information, which is potential transformation. But we need the integration of that information to have transformation.
It's so good. It's like you've got the rhyming dictionary out and you're like putting all these words in, but they all make sense. Like
right.
You're putting them in the right order and everything. So it's like, that's yeah. Really great.
Well, let me throw a few more in. I mean, the participation of the information, right? That's my occupation, you know, across the nation of this thing. So
you're crazy, man.
I know I'm crazy. I'm a wild man. But no, it really is. It's like we can learn a concept, but we have to apply the concept. And this is one of the things working with you that I've also, that's been so powerful for me. And I know we were kind of riffing on this, because I have the benefit of chatting with you all the time about stocks. I'm in your group as well. And I've learned so much about your method of investing that it's like, and I know I was just saying this to you, was that yesterday, I think, where I was like, if I had just learned this on its own,
yeah,
it'd be great, but I wouldn't have the mindset muscle to actually stick it through. Like the moment something didn't go to plan or didn't go exactly as I thought, I would have been like, I'm out of here. And so it's like over time, you know, I've been working with you now, what, a year and a half, I think, in that I've been learning from you. And it's like consistently, I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it. You know, oh, now I get it, right? And, you know, so I think that's the same thing anywhere. It's like in health and fitness, I mean, pretty much anybody knows what to do, right? We all know basically what to do, exercise and eat decent, get rest and drink some water. Probably anybody can come up with that. But yet sometimes we need that person to be like, one more push-up, come on. And so that's one of the things that I think that I ponder a lot is not just how do we take concepts and strategy and learning, how do we actually apply the things that we learn? And I think that's more important than even strategies themselves.
Yeah, I use the analogy that if I wanted to become a great golfer, I wouldn't just go and read a golf book by Tiger Woods or whoever wrote the latest book, right? That doesn't make you a great golfer. I might go take a couple of lessons, but you're still not a great golfer. Because if you practice and you get a slice in your swing, pretty soon you're practicing the slice and you get really good at the slice. Trust me on that one. And then, you know, you never get really good. But if you have the coach standing behind you, you know, that takes the information from the book and takes what he knows and says, no, turn your wrist a little bit like this, move your shoulders a little bit this way, move your hips that way, try it now. And you start to integrate that and bring that part of your muscle memory. And then you go out and apply it and learn from what you just did and improve it. That makes you better. So that's the concept for learning anything, right? Is that it's not just the knowledge. That's the knowledge trap, right? There's the gap between the knowledge and the implementation that is where we need to do it. And in order to do all that right, you have to have the right mindset. You have to know that you're going to get to a tough spot and you got to push through it. And that's where I think, you know, you and I and, you know, whoever has the ability and the fortune and the opportunity to become a mentor, you actually get to help people through the things that you've been through just with your experience. So I think that's such a critical component of what you do and what, you know, what other people do is that we're there for people to, you know, pick them up when they've stumbled or to tell them, okay, there's another chance to do it this way. And I think that is a critical thing. So mindset, I know this is what you talk about all the time. That's the difference between, you know, getting a lead and then handling an objection and overcoming the objection. That's all formulaic. That's great. There should be formulas in the system. It's what happens with the mindset in anything that you do that creates the real success, the real sauce.
Yeah, right? Completely agree. And you and I support each other in such a great way like that, because we all have different skill sets and we need that. I totally agree with what you're saying about the coach, the mentor, the person that's there. And I think that's at this stage, I'm recognizing that that's the bigger part. I taught strategy for years. You know, I was teaching like, hey, here's the sales script. Like here's the steps, here's the things like to do. And I can say, well, do a test close and look for objections. And one of the things I found when I was hiring and training salespeople in my company was that was a step that people often wouldn't do. And it was the difference between somebody maybe closing half of their leads to getting over 90% of their leads is just one question. But if they're not doing it consistently, then they're not going to get the results. So then we had rigorous training and sales training in my company, even now hiring role plays, going over the script over and over and over, just developing it. But our people close 90% of the sales. On top of that, our clients thank us for selling to them, right? Because the way that we sell, they feel served. They feel that we've educated, that we just approach it so differently, going all the way back to me 13 years ago, you know, afraid of sales, not wanting to be salesy. And I just developed that so much of where it's like, just how to approach. So the method's one thing in anything, whatever anybody wants to do, but that support, right? And even just listening to a podcast like yours every week, just hearing your voice, hearing these things is so powerful too. So it's, I love that we actually, you know, we have that back and forth, and I've learned so much from you, and I'm grateful to be in the community with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And likewise, the same to you. So why don't we wrap this up by, you know, obviously we can't teach everybody the formulas of how to be, you know, to bring somebody into your organization so you can help them, the sales, as it were. But we can certainly point people in a direction. And Chris, you have such a way of going about this in a different way than most people that I see. First of all, I think I've even reached out to you and said, hey, I need some help with marketing. And you were like, no. Here's how you should do it. You should do it. You should take an active role, and then you can hand it off to somebody. And I kind of, you know, I was a little bit upset about that at first, but maybe disappointed. And then I was like, wait a minute, he's got a point. That's what the definition of an entrepreneur is anyway, right? You do everything yourself until you can afford to have somebody else do that part that you don't like for you. And you have to understand it in order to be able to delegate it. So I thought, wow, he's really on point and he's really centered. So I don't think I've ever told you that, but that was a big thing for me.
I've had that a lot.
Yeah.
What's that? I get that request a lot. So yeah, a lot of people reach out and want me to, hey, we'll give you equity in our company. We'll give you this percentage. And
right.
And I'm just like, I don't want to work for money. Like, I don't want to just go and do things for people for money. If it's a project that I'm like, is going to make a difference in the world, it's going to do something I'm excited about, passionate about, cool. And also the person with the vision of it, with the message in their heart, should be the person to create the message, right? Like, it's like, how do we hire someone to create our voice? And actually, if I could kind of almost like share on that a little bit, one of the challenges I had along the way was hiring marketing people and not getting results, right? Like the first person was the social media manager at $500 a month that did all these posts that equated to nothing. And then it was, well, you need somebody to build a funnel for you. And I'm like, okay, I need a funnel builder. And then I paid $5,000 and somebody built a funnel and then it didn't do anything. And I'm like, oh man. And then I hired this agency and I paid $35,000 over a year. And at the time, that was like money I could not even fathom spending. Like that was so beyond, I mean, it's still a good chunk of money, but even back then it was like that monthly payment and 6 or 7 months into it, I'm like, this isn't doing anything. Like, why am I spending this money? And that was the point where I was like, I have to dig in and figure this out myself. Yeah. And what I learned was that it's me that understands my customer, my product, the problem, the why of it, my why, like all the language. I need to hire people to share my voice and my message. I can't hire them to create my voice. But then the problem was, I at first didn't know how to even formulate my voice and my message in a way for them to share it, right? So that's what took me time, was going through those sort of steps to get my own blueprint and my own, you know, how do I share? How do I talk about the why? How do I identify the right audience and those pieces? So I think that when people are listening, like, oh yeah, okay, I want to close more sales, it's also, how do you get more people on the phone? And just going and hiring people to do it might not be the best way.
Yeah.
That, you know, and if people that are listening have spent money on marketers and marketing and felt like they didn't get anywhere, you're not alone. You know, most of us have, right? And I know you've been down that path as well. And so keep going, that, you know, it's that about finding the voice yourself.
So, you know, I totally agree. And that's why I resonate so much with you, is because you are in your integrity in saying, look, that's not the help you need, right? But you do offer some things to help people, right? And that's mostly that do it yourself, learn your process before you outsource your process. So how can people get a hold of you? Maybe figure out what you do and maybe even have an opportunity to work with you. How would you, where would you send people?
Yeah. So I got a couple things. You can go get a copy of my book for free. ChrisCrawford.ca/freebook. And I know the link will be there.
That's ChrisCrawford.ca for those of you listening. Yeah. ChrisCrawford.ca, because he's in Canada, /freebook, right? That's pretty easy to remember.
Yep.
Okay. Free, and what's the title of your book, by the way?
So I've actually got two, and by the time this airs, which is right now for people listening,
right. This is like a temporal question.
Right. I'm aiming to have actually an audio. I'm going to read this and have an audio version. So my latest book, I've written two. My latest is Stop Procrastinating Your Purpose. Oh. And so this one is really about diving into mindset, because my first book was Marketing Your Mission. Years ago, which was talking about the strategy, the sales, the marketing, how to get leads. And then I got to where I was like, wait a minute, mindset is the thing. So then I wrote a book about mindset, so that you can get all the information about those there. The other thing is the sales training, and actually learning my non-salesy sales method. People can go do that. As you can tell, I just want to give everything away, and I do over there. I give so much in that. For a few bucks, people can get a ton. You can learn the script, and you can get some training and all that kind of stuff. And so that's available as well for somebody that feels that's the right fit.
And where is that?
That's at chriscrawford.ca/sales training.
By the way, I can vouch for what you offer there. That is really high quality stuff. And you come from the heart, by the way. So, you know, if you guys are on the fence or you're thinking about getting some sales training, you should at least check out what Chris is talking about here. It's chriscrawford.ca, either the book, which is /freebook, or the sales training, /sales training. You can find out a bit more about that. So why don't you give us one big nugget of what people should do, maybe zoom back out a little bit.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about something about mindset, and then we'll send you on your merry way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, to start, whether it's coming to me or going to anyone, I would just say, these are the skills to learn, right? Number one is improving the sales process, improving, and just keep refining it and working on it. That's a must. Whatever it is that you have, somebody out there needs it. Now's the time. To me, our world is in major change right now, and in need of, I would say, open-hearted serving people that want to make a difference and do positive impact. So get out there and share it with more people, but find the sources that are going to help push you to another level, right? We've always got to get out of our comfort zones. Me, anyone, there's so many great sources. Get out there. Another thing that I would also love to say is, that I've learned, and this is something I really learned from you, is thinking like bigger picture about all the way the pieces connect. So when I was little, it was sort of like you work a job and, you know, eventually you save enough money and you buy a house. You know, you got to work on credit, you got to have your down payment, and then you buy a house and then you work to retirement, right? The rat race. And that, over the years, I learned that, well, that sucks, that method, and there's other options and, you know, revenue streams. But now what I really look at is, okay, what is the one thing that's generating income that allows lifestyle, allows me to do the things I want to do? And then where am I investing that money that's doing something for me? I played with real estate a little bit. Personally, I didn't love it. It wasn't, I've done some rentals, I've done some flips, I've done a new build. I've been in it. And I just was like, oh man, the work here for the return. I'm like, this, it just didn't, which is ironic. Actually, I want to throw this out. What led me to you was after doing the last house that we sold, which was, when was that? Well, it was just over, just about two years ago. The last property. And then, you know, I had some, had then extra cash in the bank from doing that. And I was like, I don't want to do any more real estate. Like I hear you, brother.
Oh real man. Not my bag either, man.
It just was, I just found it was a lot of work. Now I've got so many friends in it. I get FOMO often talking to people, and then I have the like, no, it's not for me. So I literally asked the question. I said to my partner, Lauren, and I said, I was like, you know, we just need, how did I say that? I was like, we need an easy, like low risk place that we can put our money that's gonna grow and it's liquid. We don't have to worry about it. And we laughed, right? We're like, well, that's what everybody wants. 3 days later, like literally speaking that into the universe, 3 days later, we were on the phone talking about your cash flow machine. And that came because I said that to Nick. I was like, hey, you know what I need? To Nick Spohn, you know, mutual good friend. And so, I said that to Nick. I'm like, hey, you know, this is what I need. And he's like, well, wait, you got to talk to Mark about what he's got going on. Talk to you. You know, here we are a few years later and almost a couple years and I'm in that program. And so what I wanted to bring up about that was thinking how we're generating wealth in, or, you know, income in one place and where we're putting that income to grow that wealth. And your program, you know, I tell people about it all the time. It's phenomenal. It's such an easy, semi-passive, you know, very little time, way of growing income and, or way of growing wealth. And I think that's, you know, for people listening, that thinking differently in that way of not just how do I make money, but how do I income and where am I putting that and what am I doing with that? And I think that that's such a key thing that at this stage excites me about where I'm going in the future. I've got two little girls. I've got a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old. And I think a lot now about what does it look like 5, 10, 20 years from now? And I can tell you that thinking ahead about just continually trying to grow my nest egg, you know, the cash, the fund, working away on real estate projects just didn't do it for me. So
yeah, we went through, I guess we've been through a similar path. I've still got some real estate. I've been involved in a lot of different real estate. And I'm always trying to unload my real estate because I just don't enjoy it. I can click a mouse, and this is a double-edged sword. I can click a mouse and be in a, you know, spend $250,000 on a stock in 2 seconds. And then it's just, what do you do after you click the mouse? That's what most people don't know. But you know, I can get in and out very quickly. In a real estate deal, it takes me 6 months, or I have one I've been working on for 11 years. Like I can't get out of it, right? So it's just not fast enough for me. And I have a saying, you know, there's two ways to make money in this world, the fast way and the slow way. And the fast way is the slow way, right? And so most of us don't realize, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. He's like, you know, I sold this option and I got 30 cents. And the other person that they were telling the story that they told me today. The other person goes, 30 cents. He goes, yeah, but I got 5,000 contracts. He goes, that's $1,500 for 2 days. And the other person like, yeah, when you look at it that way, that is a lot of money. And that's the kind of things that we teach. So I appreciate your compliment on it. I learn a lot from you, not only in your mastermind, but in my mastermind, right? I'm I've been doing this for 40 something years. I don't even want to say it anymore, but I'm still learning every day. Like, you have the ahas a year and a half into it. I'm still having the ahas, right? And the ahas just happen to be at the higher end, where I'm tweaking those little nuances, those little distinctions. So we can always learn. And I think when you stop learning, then it's time to probably go. But speaking of going, Chris, I want to thank you for your time and your wisdom and imparting that to our audience in such a giving way. And I always appreciate talking with you. And I hope to have you back on, on a future edition of the Wealth Architect podcast. But thanks again for your time and thanks for your wisdom.
Thank you. Appreciate it. This is a great time. Right.
We'll see you next time on another edition of the Wealth Architect podcast. And remember, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.